بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنزل المقعد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد يسير. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء. وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وجزه عنا ما هو أهله وجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته. وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله، الزاكيات لله، الطيبات، الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء. التحيات الطيبات، الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات، والصلوات، والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله. التحيات لله، الصلوات لله، الزاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله، شهدت أن محمدا رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات، الصلوات، الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات، الصلوات، الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات، الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله، الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات، الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. بسم الله، والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه
الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, it is only with the fazl, the grace and the tawfiq of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that for the past few days we are talking about the seerat, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The reason for that is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala himself tells us that if we want to reach Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we want the love and the muhabbat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we should follow the path, the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For that, we have to study the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have to know what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. We have to know what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us to do. Without having studying the surah, seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it would not be possible for us to make ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is described as the best way in life. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. For you, in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the best example. But that is, if our intention is to meet Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, our intention is to have a successful akhirat. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. And that is why in the Quran Kareem there's so much of emphasis on strictly adhering to whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the Rasul has given you, take it. And whatever the Rasul prohibits you from, stay away from it. That is why we are studying the seerah, talking about various angles, different vicissitudes of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah give us the tawfiq and hidayah to implement it in our lives. Today in our series of seerat, we talk about the incident of Raji'. There were some people from the tribes of Adl and Qara. These were the two tribes from around Makkah or the areas surrounding Makkah. The tribes of Adl and Qara. They came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and pretended to be Muslims. They told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, send some of your companions, some of your sahaba, they would come to our tribe, they would teach our people, they would educate our people. And it is hopeful that our people would accept Islam and Islam will spread in our area. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focus was always on da'wah. This was the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose 10 great illustrious sahaba of his to go to the tribe of Adl and Qara to do the work of da'wah. In the books of tariq, from among the 10 sahaba, the names of some of them are also mentioned. One, Asim ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Second, Marthad radiallahu anhu. Third, Abdullah ibn Abi Tariq. Fourth, Khubayb radiallahu anhu. Fifth, Zayd ibn Farista. Sixth, Khalid ibn Abi Bukair. Seventh, Mu'tab radiallahu anhu. From the 10, at least 7 names have been enumerated. The Amir, the leader of this group, was Asim ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched him and told him, upon the request of the people of the tribe of Adl and Qara, go there, work among people, give them dawah, and spread Islam there. Now as they were going, when they came to a place called Raji', it is a place between Makkah and Usfan. The tribe of Adl and Qara, they embezzled. They made khiyanat. They made a pledge to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they would look after the delegation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would give them all the necessary support they require. But when the time came, they went against this pledge, and nearby there was a tribe, the tribe of Banu Lahyan. The tribe of Adl and Qara told the tribe of Banu Lahyan, there are some foreigners here, some outsiders here. They are interfering in your people's area, and you should get rid of them. So from the tribe of Banu Lahyan, there were 200 people that went out in search of these 10 Sahaba to fight with them and to get rid of them. Now imagine 200 people fully equipped, and then you have 10 Sahaba who's not even equipped. They're going for a sincere mission for dawah and to teach and educate the people. Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the Sahaba, the group of 10 of them, they went, took refuge in a nearby hill. They went on the top of the hill. The tribe of Banu Lahyan came at the bottom of the hill and told to them, we're not going to do y'all anything. We only want to talk with you. And if you people are afraid, we give you an undertaking that your lives will be secured. We're not going to hurt you. We're not going to kill you. We're not going to do anything with you. Take our assurance. Come down. We will give you all the necessary support. We just need to talk to you. Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he immediately understood the kuffar, the empty promises of a kafir, and he mentioned, Ana la anzil ala zimmati kafir. I don't hand myself over to a disbeliever, to a kafir. He may make promises, he may not fulfill the promises. And with him, 7 sahaba, they refused to submit. Then a war took place, a fighting took place between the 7 Sahaba and 200 people, and Allah made it such that the 7 Sahaba became shaheed, they passed away. In fact, one Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Abi Tariq, he submitted. The moment he submitted, immediately they disarmed him, they took out his shield and his quiver, and the string that he had in his arm and his quiver, they tied him up with the same thing. And he then immediately mentioned what our Amir told, not to submit ourselves to a disbeliever, because they will make khiyanat and they will embezzle. I'm already experiencing it. So he refused to cooperate further. They dragged him until a point where he also passed away and became shaheed. Now there were 2 Sahaba that were left. One was Zayd ibn Dathina radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hadrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The incident of these 2 Sahaba is very, very inspirational and amazing. Now, Zayd ibn Dathina radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the battle of Badr, he killed Umayyah ibn Khalaf. So, Umayyah ibn Khalaf's son was Safwan. So he told to, he decided that since Zayd had killed our father, so let us buy him, he'll be our slave, and we can take his life away, avenge the death of our father. Then the second person was Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the battle of Badr, or in the battle of Uhud, he killed a person by the name of Haris. So the children of Haris decided that they want to buy Khubayb out. He would be the slave and they would then kill Khubayb in exchange or to avenge the death of the father. The first one, Zayd ibn Dasina, when Safwan brought him out, without any delay, they decided to immediately kill him. So out of Makkah Mukarrama, they went to the place Tan'im, that's the same place where normally we want to don the ihram in Masjid Aisha. So in and around that area, because it's regarded to be the place out of the haram. So they took Zayd ibn Dasina out of the haram area, they tied him up, and they decided to kill him. Throw spears and kill him in the most brutal way. So Abu Jahl, or Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at that time he was the leader of the kuffar, he asked Zayd ibn Dasina radiallahu ta'ala anhu one question, told him, see what is happening to you. You're going to be killed now. You have a wife, your wife is going to become a widow. You have children, your children are going to become orphans. You have friends and associates. Now you're going to be killed, and all your friends and your associates are also going to miss your companionship. And all because you have followed Muhammad. Don't you wish, instead of your life being taken away, the life of Muhammad be taken away? Don't you wish, instead of your life being taken away, Muhammad's life being taken away, your life could be spared, your wife will remain your wife, your children will be your children, your wife won't be a widow, become a widow, your children won't become orphans. Zayd ibn Dasina radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a great sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like every sahabi, their hearts were saturated with a deep, immense love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Zayd ibn Dasina gave an amazing answer. He knows that he's about to die. He knows the brutality behind the death. So he told to Abu Sufyan and all the kuffar that were there, leave aside Muhammad being in my place and taking the arrows in my place. Whilst I'm in this condition, I cannot bear that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his house and a thorn would prick the Mubarak feet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the great amount of love and muhabbat that a sahabi would have for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even before tasting death. Finally, Zayd ibn Dasina radiallahu ta'ala who was made shaheed. Then another sahabi, Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was kept as a prisoner for some time by the children of Haris. The time came to kill him. He was made aware of it. So he decided that before I'm put to death, let me cleanse myself. So one of Haris's daughter, her name was Zainab. He requested for a razor blade so that he could remove the unwanted hair from his body, prepare himself to meet Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Cleanse himself, remove all the unwanted hair from under the armpit, under the navel, and prepare himself to meet Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So she obliged, she gave him a razor. But one day, to her shock and surprise and amazement, Zainab's small daughter went missing from the house. She went around looking for the daughter and only to notice that the small baby is right in the arms of Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala, who is a prisoner. And Khubayb was just been given a razor blade. She got worried. My daughter, what is going to happen? The prisoner Khubayb got a razor, and now before his life would be taken away, it shouldn't happen, he takes away the life of my child. The mother came out in shock. Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala looks at the mother of the child, and he's playing with the child in the arm. He's about to die. He's fully aware, conscious of his situation, but he is showing love and care to the baby in his arm. He looks at the mother and he tells the mother, you are afraid that I'm going to kill this child? I'm not going to oppress this child. I'm not going to kill this child for no reason. If he wanted, he could have done it. But there was that balanced approach in them. He knew he had his priorities right. He knew that he's going to become a shaheed, but why should he make zulm and oppression on this child? In fact, playing with a child of his captives and showing love and care is an amazing temperament of a sahabi. The same woman, the mother of the child, Zainab. Later on, she became Islam after she seen the conduct of Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. She herself says, and that narration is in Bukhari, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَصِيرًا قَدْتُ خَيْرًا مِّنْ خُبَيْبٍ. I haven't seen any prisoner more better than Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I haven't seen any prisoner more better, more greater than Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ يَأْكُلُ مِنْ قِطْعَةِ عِنَبْ وَمَا بِبَكَّةَ يَوْمَيْدٍ ثَمَرَةٍ وَإِنَّهُ لَمُوثَقٌ بِالْحَدِيدٍ وَمَا كَانْ إِلَّا رِزْقٌ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهِ. She says that I haven't seen any prisoner better than Khubayb radiallahu anhu. Khubayb was tied in chains. Khubayb was tied in chains. Yet he was eating out of season fruits that were right in front of him. Somebody that is chained, where will he have access to fruits? And nobody in that area could even get those fruits because those were out of season fruits. She further says, this could be nothing but rizq and sustenance from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala. And this is similar to what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about Maryam radiallahu anha, where Allah says, كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله. مريم رضي الله عنها was under the kafalat and the custody of Zakaria عليه السلام. Zakaria عليه السلام, one enters the chambers of Maryam and notices that she's eating out of season fruits. So he asked her, where do you get it from? She said, from Allah. Allah sent it to me. That's when Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, he built up hope, ripe old age, no children. His wife was barren, unable to give conceive children. He never lost hope. When Allah could give out of season fruits, when Allah can give out of season fruits to Maryam, then why can't Allah give me a child when I'm out of season as well? So Zakaria alayhi salam, he then goes by the mihrab and he makes dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, never losing hope in Allah. Every power, every qudrat is in Allah. And in fact, we recognize Allah more when all the asbab are broken up. When there's no means and now Allah gives us, then we realize the true power and the qudrat of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Anyway, that was the incident of Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Finally, one of the children of Haris, his name was Uqba ibn Haris, he threw the spear on Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu and killed him. But before Khubayb could pass away, he told the family of Haris, allow me to read 2 rakat salah. Can you imagine? A person about to become shaheed, about to be killed. In that situation, probably a person will not be able to think. Different thoughts will be coming into his mind. But he is more worried about dying in the best of conditions. See, let me read 2 rakat salah. He read 2 rakat salah. He shortened the salah. And after the salah, he told to them that had I not thought that y'all will think that I'm afraid of death, I would have lengthened my salah. Had y'all not thought that I'm afraid of death, I would have lengthened my salah. And then after that, he says some ash'ar, some poetry. فَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا عَلَىٰ أَيِّ جَمٍّ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مَسْرَعِي وَذَلِكَ فِي ذَاتِ الْإِلَٰهِ إِيَّ شَأْ يُبَارِكْ فِي أَوْصَالِ شَلْوٍ مُمَزَّعِي. The meaning of it is that I know you people are about to kill me. I don't care on which side my body will fall, whether it's going to fall on the right, whether it's going to fall on the left. All I'm hopeful is that because of my attitude and because of my dedication, the cause for which I'm dying, I'm hopeful Allah will bless every limb of my body with barakat and blessings. That's how Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala who passed away. And the person that through the spear was Uqbah ibn Harith. Now let me tell you something very, very thought-provoking and amazing. From murderer to the highest level of taqwa. In Bukhari, in the first volume in Kitab al-Ilm, there's a Tarjumatul Bab, Ar-Rahl Lil-Ilm, where a person had to take a journey to go and seek some knowledge. Uqbah ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala was married to a woman. He accepted Islam later on, but after having married the woman, one dark-skinned woman came and told to him, your marriage with that woman is invalid because I breastfed you and I breastfed your wife. So you both are foster brother and sister. So Uqbah radiallahu ta'ala was in Makkah at that time. He undertook a journey, went to Madinatul Munawwara, and he told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I got married and one dark-skinned woman is claiming that she's our foster mother for me and for my wife, and therefore our marriage is invalid. Now from the principal point of view, if you would have continued the marriage, it is fine. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him, كَيْفَ وَقَدْ قِيلْ كَيْفَ وَقَدْ قِيلْ. How can you continue marriage when this has been said upon you? Now there's a big academic discussion around this hadith. But the point I want to mention to you, the person that threw the spear on Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the same Uqbah ibn Harith. He accepted Islam, and look at that Allah consciousness that came to him in a short period of time, that now he's worried about the validity of his nikah and practicing on the highest level of taqwa. This is what the Sahaba way. That from what point of life they came to what point of life they have reached. Another incident on Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after they killed him, they hanged his body. And they had 40 guards around to look after his body, to ensure, and the idea was to send a lesson to everyone that to be very careful about Islam and Muslims, otherwise this will be your fate if you accept that religion. From Madina Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hadha Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhu and another sahabi, Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, go and fetch the body of Khubayb. So they went. They noticed at night there are guards there, 40 people. Somehow they made a plan, and when the guards became unmindful, so Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Zaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they took the body of Khubayb and they went towards Medina. The guards realized the body is missing. They went out in search of the body. And then they came to a place where they almost caught up Miqdad and Zaid. They thought that if they're going to carry on running with the body, it will show disrespect to a body. They left the body on the ground. And Allah made it such that He preserved the body of Khubayb. The ground opened up and the ground swallowed Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu to preserve his body. And that is why Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu's title is Bali'ul Ard. That Sahabi that was swallowed by the earth to preserve the body of the Sahabi. That is Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Amir. In his lifetime, he would make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That the dua he used to make to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni ahmi laka al-yawm dinak fahmi li lahmi. The meaning of which is, O Allah, I am preserving your deen, you preserve my body. The Amir of the 10 Sahaba, Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Allah, I preserve your deen, you preserve my body. Now after he was killed, so there was a big offer out that anybody who would bring the head of Asim, he would get 100 camels. Imagine what a huge offer. So everybody went out to go bring the head of Asim radiallahu anhu. So in the day when they went, they noted, they were in Bukhari it is mentioned, lots of wasps they were around his body. Now to them it was like something natural because it was in the day, it was heat and there was wasps around. Meanwhile, this was ghaibi nizam and protection from the side of Allah, divine protection from Allah. Allah was protecting the body of Asim. So they said, Let's wait at night. The wasp will go away. We know where the body is. We'll come and take the head away at night. At night, weather came. Heavy rain came down. Torrent of rain came down. And the body of Asim radiallahu ta'ala, they washed away. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala preserved the body of Asim radiallahu ta'ala in this amazing, miraculous way. This is a brief incident of the incident of Raji. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very sad, grieved. In fact, Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before he could pass away, in Abu Dawud Sharif, there's a narration. In his heart, he made dua to Allah, O Allah, Akhbir anna rasulak. Tell the Rasul of Allah what is happening to us. He's a foreign land, distant place, but his concern was that the Rasul of Allah should be informed about their plight. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then informed. Nabi Kareem sallam told the Sahaba, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was grieved at this. All from this entire incident we understand. Sacrifice for the sake of deen. And before we conclude and making our zikr, you know, there was a debate once between water and oil. And when water and oil is together, then you'll always see that oil is on top of the water. Yet oil looks like more dirtier, more slimy. So water objected to the oil and told, wherever we are together, you're always dominating me, you're always on top of me. Yet you don't know that I'm more purer than you. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. I've come down from the skies. I'm pure and I'm a means of purification. You are dirty. Why didn't you consider my purity and you let me dominate you? Why do you dominate me? So oil told to the water, what you are saying is 100% true and correct. You came from the skies. You are a means of purifier. You yourself are pure. But consider one thing of mine. I was a seed. I was buried underground. For months on end, nobody knew me. People trampled on me until one stem came out from me. And as I grew, I had to weather so many different conditions. The heat of summer, the cold of winter, the rains. I bared all that until when I matured, then the farmer came with his sickle and he cut me off. And then he took my seed and he crushed me and he took the oil out of me. So much of sacrifice I've gone through. Oh water, what sacrifice have you made? What sacrifice have you made? It is because of my sacrifice, Allah made it such when we both are together, I dominate. So if we want to become close to Almighty Allah, don't think that it is just a walk in the park. Mujahada, effort, sacrifice we have to make to get close to Almighty Allah. Sahaba, they made mujahada. They made sacrifices that made them close to Allah. We also have to make that mujahada and get the closest to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One way of doing that is try to push ourselves, exert ourselves in making the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grant us tawfiq. Recite three times, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, three times, Durood Sharif.